Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
The life that I live by faith of the Son of God. His faith, not mine, his. And now, of course, so many people do not understand that because they think that you have to build your faith and so on. No. All you have to do is to remove the barriers that are in you that stop the faith of Christ, which is already inside you, to manifest. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, the process of removing the barriers can be a bit prolonged. But if you know that, actually, I don't live by my faith. Because of yourself, what faith do you have, really? All the faith you have is natural faith. You know, when we were young in Scripture Union, they used to tell us a story to illustrate faith. Then they said there was this man who had, there was a string tied from one end of a cliff to the other, and in between was a deep, deep, deep hole. And if you fell over, trying to walk over, you'd die. So this man walked over the other side and came back and told the people who were with him, "Do you believe that I can walk the other side?" They say, "Yeah, we believe you can." Then he says, "Okay, now I want you to give me a wheelbarrow, and I'm going to push it on the string across and bring it back." So they said, "We can't believe that." Then he says, "Bring the wheelbarrow." So he pushes it across and brings it right back. So he believes, "Do you now believe that I can push a wheelbarrow across?" "Yes, we believe." "Okay, good. Now, do you know I can actually put a dog on this wheelbarrow and I push it across and back?" Then he does it. Then he asked, "How many of you believe now that I can even put you on this wheelbarrow and push you across and back?" And all of them said, "Yeah, we believe. We've seen you have the ability." "Okay. How many of you are willing to sit on the wheelbarrow?" "Ah, leave us alone." Now, that is the illustration of faith, because there are so many people who want to believe things. But when it comes to anything that where they put themselves at the mercy of it, they are not interested. So they say, "We believe you can push. If you can push a dog, which is not even stable, you can obviously push a what? A human being." "Yeah, but now we believe, but don't tell us to get on there." So he said, "How many of you will be willing to sit on the wheelbarrow?" Then they look down, then they look and say, "No, no, no, not me." Now that, of course, is not faith, but say just an illustration. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you that all the wonderful things, everything, that is proclaimed and that we are entering into, you have to get to a place where you actually believe it, to the point where you put yourself in a place where you'd be embarrassed if it doesn't work. Otherwise, you don't believe. Amen? Now, God can sometimes push you to that point. But the thing we fear the most is to be ashamed, is to be embarrassed. Now, when that fear goes away, faith comes. Praise the Lord. When that fear goes away, faith comes. Now, you'd think that somebody, like, you say, "Of course, yeah, I mean, as Smith Wigglesworth would do that, wouldn't he?" He would, because he's Smith Wigglesworth. But, you know, he has the faith of Christ as you do. He has the mind of Christ as you do. Praise the Lord. He's in Christ as you do. The only thing is, of course, he has given it some time to develop. But let me tell you this. In the Old Testament, everything that is spoken of as a place in the Old Testament manifests as a condition in the New Testament. For instance, when the scripture says, "Come out of Babylon, my people," there is a Babylon. In the Old Testament, there was actually a Babylon. Okay, a place called Babylon with a king. In the New Testament, there is no place called Babylon. But it's telling you come out of Babylon, because Babylon is a condition. And by the way, of course, you know that Satan is called the king of Babylon. You understand? So his kingdom is still there. Now the Babylon, that time was geographical location. Now it is not geographical. It is something inside people. So people can be in Babylon. Even Egypt was a place then, but now you can be in Egypt out. when you are in Uganda. Because Egypt is not a geographical place, it's a condition. Actually, a condition of your heart, what it is you actually have inside you. So now, the whole story of coming out of Egypt, Egyptian bondage. Of course, now when somebody is in Egypt entirely, that person is not born again. Okay? Those are people who are entirely in Egypt. Everything about them is Egypt. And they are in the bondage of the devil. That is Egypt. But then, so many people leave Egypt and now go into the wilderness. Now, this is also a condition, you see. From Egypt to the promised land, there is a wilderness. And this is also a condition. And scripture, if you read the scriptures, actually explain to you why God took them through that experience. And why they took so long in the wilderness, yet they were not supposed to go there. It says actually in Deuteronomy that the distance between the Red Sea after they parted, crossed the Red Sea and the promised land was 11 days journey. But it took them 40 years to get there. And now here is the other thing. There were 600,000 men who left, and the scripture is very categorical on that, who left Egypt. All of them having been promised to go to the promised land. By God, 600,000 men left. Only two of them arrived. Even the one who was leading them did not enter. 600,000 men, and the reason they say men is because they are saying families. They are counting heads of families. So that does not include wives and children. So 600,000 families left Egypt. All of them with a promise from God, the faithful God who does not fail, that he's taking them to a promised land. Only two of them arrived. Now, if actually you studied that, you realize why it is only Joshua and Caleb who went through the wilderness and arrived in the promised land. Now, they come out of the wilderness, they move. Now, that's a state. And every one of you knows that state. When you've just gotten born again, now you've left Egypt. Now, I'll tell you this. I wish the proportions were better today than they were at that time. What percentage is 2 out of 600,000? But I'm telling you that it is so difficult for people. And now when it says they died in the wilderness, that is almost talking about a large section of the church who died in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? Having never lived the fullness of the promises of God. They are somewhere. They left Egypt, so that means they are born again. But did they ever arrive in the promised land? The promised land, now remember when we were those years where you say, hey, I'm going to the promised land, and you're saying as if it's heaven. There is no promised land in heaven. The promised land is here. Heaven, there are no promises. There are only rewards. Praise the Lord. Now, promised land is a land of his promise, where you are living everything that he has promised you. The fullness of it. Now you've entered the promised land. And I can tell you, the proportions might be just as. Even when I look at men of God of old, they are, and I've read God's generals and all that, you'd find somebody who was in the promised land in regard to the anointing, in regard to everything else, and yet they were broke. So they were somewhere in the wilderness, you see. In one area of the anointing, they might be in the promised land, inside it. But now when you go back and say, what about your finances? I'm still a bit in the wilderness. And then there's a man called Indian guy who was very, very prominent apostle. He lived into the 2000s. He was called Dinakarang. Very, very powerful man in spiritual experiences and so on. But he was always sick, always sick. Now, in every other area of his life, he was probably in the promised land. But in regard to God's promises of health, he was deep in the wilderness. And he died in the wilderness in that regard. So now when I look back, not present, back, I realize that there are very few people who actually, in all, they are actually the one person I can mention without any water is like Kenneth Hagin. Where everything, sickness, zero. Money, plenty. Everything. Working where all the promises of God are actualized in your life. And now, you are in the promised land. Of the others, you can think, because they were powerful people, like Catherine Kuhlman. But they died of cancer. So she hadn't necessarily entered the promise. And yet actually, like I'm telling you about somebody who, you talk about the healing anointing. I don't think there's anybody who has actually brought that thing forth like Catherine Kuma, because she's the only one who actually, people came and argued and said that she lies people. There is no healing. People don't get healed at her crusades. So she called the media and told them, you come and witness for yourselves. So all the media came. This was in, I think, late 1960s. And they were there. And then she called people with all sorts of conditions. There were wheelchairs from this side to the other side. People on wheelchairs, crippled and all that. And then the media were there looking and saying, you know, because they report, I know reporting wasn't that big that time. So they, and of course, even if even those who see will not report, you know, the way the media behave and what, they operate on principles of natural news, not supernatural. So anyhow, they were there. So they do everything you're told, just sit there and keep quiet. Don't do anything. So she does her usual thing. She comes, she worships in her flamboyant white dresses. And then she worships. And then she would tell people sometimes to keep quiet. Don't say or do anything. And she says, all of you keep quiet. And if you dare move, ushers will throw you out like you a thief. Then she says, silence. And the only thing, sound, the only person allowed to do anything was her keyboardist, a man who had been with her all these years. So he kind of knew how to flow in. So then after like that period of time, then she would just say, he's come, he's here. People started jumping out of wheelchairs without anything. Like people pam, 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 popping out of wheelchairs without her touching them, without anything. And the media people were there taking pictures. And guess what the media did? They did not cover a single thing, but they did not abuse her thereafter. They just kept quiet. They just decided, okay. And now a whole line of wheelchairs. But then she died of cancer. I was reading a story of Oral Roberts talking about how he went to her meetings to see how, you know. So he says, you know, this boy was totally crippled. So she started praying. And they had a system they would use where if there is a miracle, they report it to a head of a section, then the head of section report, there was a group, then the head of a section, then the head of a section is the one who goes and says there is a miracle here. Now this one, she stood at the top of the pulpit and this boy was down the aisle. And then he had been totally crippled on the ground, but then his legs were beat. Had now gotten some, the miracles in the process. Legs had gotten some power. So he came and now was walking, but in a very wobbly way. Then she told the ushers, leave him alone, let's see what the Holy Spirit has done. The boy ran to the pulpit. Like ran to the pulpit. And so Robert says, he looked and said, man, things are happening here. But actually, now that I mentioned Oral Roberts, maybe also him. He was he also maybe like was in problem. My point is that this is a big challenge. That's why you see 600,000 and only two. Those percentages of actually getting the prophet's land completely. And you are not anywhere. There is no part of your life that is in the wilderness. There has to be a total commitment to it of, I am going to do everything to make sure that in every area of my life, I'm in the promised land. And the promised land is just the fullness of the promises that we have here. Now, when Roberts was about to die, he called people and so many people and all these, you know, a lot of evangelists, and they were telling them, each one of you, tell me what you want me to give you before I go. That's another story of its own. They were powerful healing evangelists, like Benny, all of them were there. And he was telling them, just tell me I'm going. And then he distributed to each one what they were saying, what they wanted. Then he gave them. Then they sat down to eat food. And then he started singing that, I'm going home. I can even hear the music. Then he was so happy, I'm going home. Then the next minute, they took away his body. Now, praise the Lord. Now you can praise the Lord for that. Eh? I think also him, that was what? Prophecy, like, because of course he's the one who got the revelation of seed, like you can sow a seed to anything. And he actually moved in a great deal of prosperity. He's the one who, he had a very, very powerful healing ministry. So I'm trying to tell you that when we look across, when you see that a majority of the people, 599,998 died in the wilderness, you realize that we have a big duty to do here today. Praise the Lord. Now, when people get to the edge of the promised land, now at the beginning of the wilderness, you are officially there and you're expected to be there. There is a time frame for you to be there because you're a baby. And in that time frame, you can do anything. And yeah, it's understood. You can make a golden calf and God comes and says, tells Moses, you broke the commandments because of these people. It's okay, you come back, I'll write it again. Because you are officially in the wilderness. In other words, you're officially a child. You're expected to behave in a certain way. Now, the trouble is that so many people, when you are supposed to be of adolescent age or adult age, you're still a child. Now, that's where all the problems come. Because you are not expected to be there. Imagine if a 10-year-old came and started crawling here. Now, if a baby crawls, like, it's okay. Nobody is moved because he's a baby. But now, if somebody who is even three years or 4 years comes and starts crawling, now that's how so many people are in the spirit. You're expected to be of a certain level of maturity, but like you've climbed on a childhood. You're a child and you've decided you're going to be a child and you're not going to be moved from being a child. So you are there and you expect them to come and feed you. Now, it was okay for them to feed you at some stage. It was okay for you to stress everybody at some stage. When a baby is a baby, it can decide if you are not going to sleep and you not sleep. Okay? But now, at a certain age, if you try to pull those strokes, they will give you chibok. Because you are not supposed to be a baby. Now, you say, but my father, the other day, used to cry and you would come and comfort me and what? Why are you beating me now? Because you are no longer a baby. So, now the thing is, so as a result of people choosing to remain babies, so many people die in the wilderness. That is, they die without ever living the fullness of the life that Christ died for us to live. They never, you know, get to that point. They might even get there in one or two things, but fully, promised land, that really is going to be our challenge for this generation. Praise the Lord. Our challenge to know that there are promises of God for everything. Everything. And we are going to go and take them up without pitying ourselves. You know, you pity yourself now. And now that's the difference between children. The one thing that separates children from adults is adults take responsibility when something is wrong. Have you ever seen people even who are adults and so many of you are like that. You're walking, you even knock your foot on a table. Then you turn and say, who left this table here? You're the problem. Walk properly. Like there are people who can never take responsibility for anything in their lives. Anything. Something stupid will happen and they will still look around and say, yeah, but it's because of this. Because of this. Who left this switch on? Who left this cupboard on? Who did this? And like you're a baby. You will never be responsible. Now, you cannot refuse to take responsibility for simple things. And you take responsibility for big things. Like entering the promised land. You will continue being a baby. When you make a mistake, it's because somebody did, you know? Yeah. If somebody had done something different, you would not have made that mistake. So somehow you're not to blame. Now, then you go to praying to God. And you can never take responsibility for your life. It is because God has still to do something. And now you are going to die in the wilderness proper. Proper. Die in the wilderness. The first step is to understand, and I've said this before, that there is everything which you require, God has already done. The only person who has to do is you. Now, when you actually convince yourself about that, totally convince yourself, that everything it takes for you to be totally blessed, to be rich, to be healthy, to be what was accomplished by Jesus. And when he said it is finished, he meant everything man would ever need. And now men run to God asking him for this. And he just points them to Jesus. And he says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And then he says, the man, Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Okay? The man. The man. Now he says, that is that one. That's where the solution all is. And he got everything that you'll ever need. Now the only thing you require is to see how to actualize it in your life. How to turn it on. And make it permanently in your life. And then you say, in this area, I am in the promised land. I will never be in debt. I will never be broke. I will always go from glory to glory in finances. In this area, I'm in the promised land. Then you can go for another area. And say, yeah, but maybe sometimes I get a bit sick. But also, let me also go for that one. Eh? And let me also get that one and cross into the promised land. Then at some stage, you come out and say, I will never be broke and I can never be sick all my life again. In these two areas, I've entered the promised land. But there will be others, praise the Lord. Like, you know, in purpose, in ministry and so on. But the key thing is realizing, as these people. Now, what made the people die in the wilderness? I want you to understand this from Numbers 13. What made them die in the wilderness? The fact that they expected the same template of when they were children to be applied when now God accounted in them the ability to be adults. So, in other words, they expected to get on a silver plate what God wanted them to go and fight for. Now, it's the same as what we are in now. He goes and says, I have given you blessings. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And now, that is something you have to fight for. The way he told them, I've given you the land of the Hittites, the land of the Jebusites, the land of what, and all that. You might add as well parasites. Now, and he says, I've given you all that land. And he says he has given it to you, but you are not yet in it. And he tells you now, get a sword and now go and fight for it. But I've given it to you, but now go and fight. Now you say, no, we don't want to fight. Because in Egypt, you came and fought for us and destroyed the Egyptians without us even lifting a what? Yeah, because you were babies. Yeah, even when we came, anyone who attacked us, you remember the Midianites who came and Moses had to just hold his hands up. And they even helped him hold his hands. And as long as Moses held his hands, they would prevail. And God was, but now he expects you to use the proper warfare tactics and say, I have given you a blessing to make you rich. Now, go and fight for it. But God, if you have given it to me, why am I not seeing it? Go and fight for it. That's how it was in the Old Testament. That's how it is now. In the Old Testament, it was a place. In the New Testament, it's a condition that you have to go and fight for. You understand? So, when it says Egypt, that's a condition. Wilderness, that's a condition. Promised land, that's a condition. All those things are conditions. So, when he says, come out of my people, Babylon, he's saying, come out of a certain condition where the system of the world rules over you. And the king of Babylon has a say in how you conduct your life. The king of Babylon, you and the devil. Now, in the New Testament, I think 1 Corinthians 4:4, he says, he calls Satan the god of this world. Okay? So now, that's why you're in this world, but you're not of it. Now, you have to know that the journey from Egypt to the promised land is all inside you. And it's all dependent on how much you're willing. Do you really want it? Or is it something you just wish you had? And yeah, and then you just let it pass. Now, nobody who is just like that is going to actually experience it. Nobody. You have to really want it. Now, that's why when these people said, why do you bring us away from Egypt? What? God said, hey, okay. Did you bring us to die in the wilderness? He says, hey, okay, you want to die here. And now remember, after Moses pronounced that they were going to die in the wilderness, do you know what they did? They actually said, okay, no, now let us go and fight. They elected people among themselves and said, let us go and fight. And they were beaten by those guys. Because now they were not in there, you know? Now, the thing though is, the reason Joshua and Caleb are the only ones who went, you look at the attitude. The way they come up and say, yeah, the people were giants. Yeah, and they were big, but the land is good. And then he says, we are well able to take it if God delights in us. Now, the thing is, everything that is given in a promise is there to be taken. But somebody has to actually want it. Now, the reason so many people die in the wilderness, go to Hebrews chapter 6. Go to verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that, you first go to the New King James. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Praise the Lord. So now, Paul is telling them here, I am confident. Start from verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 6. Now he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go into perfection. Okay? Now he's saying, growing up from the... You've seen people who are in elementary principles of Christ. Eh? That is like 90% of the church. Where you go... I went to Hoima to preach end time. And this guy was, they sent a pastor who said, I'm in charge of doctrine to see who is teaching false doctrine. That elementary. And the guy who is saying does not know anything about anything. You know, you've seen the, you know, I love the way cartoons say, I've had it only in cartoons, that come here for everything, you need to know about everything. Now there's somebody who, he knows nothing about nothing. There is nothing he knows. He's just there. He elementary principles. And he goes on saying, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Now that is what he calls the foundation. Repentance. Mwenenye. You see, eh? And now that says that is okay. But that's the foundation. Then he says, of the doctrine of baptisms. So you come and say, we are Baptists. Elementary what? Elementary, you've stayed there. And now you think that is powerful, but it's actually nursery school. Imagine if you still have everyone here in nursery school. That's exactly what it is. Elementary now. And then there is a group of Baptists in America called the Southern Baptists. They believe that you cannot go to heaven unless you are baptized under the Southern Baptist Church. They have the franchise for heaven. God gave it to them. But people can be stupid. I would want to say candle, but that's stupidity. Like basically, God gave you the franchise. And they actually come and preach. They even come here and they say that unless you are baptized in the Southern Baptist. Now, Southern Baptist is not even Baptist. Because there was the first Baptist, which was the original Baptist. Then the Southern Baptists are those who were in the southern part of America. And you know what separated them? First Baptist and Southern Baptist? Do you know what separated them? Slavery, that's it. Because the first Baptist church said that, no, we cannot be believers in God. And we are enslaving people who are made in his image. Then the Southern Baptists said, no, these are not, they had scriptures. So they came up with scriptures saying that, no, there's nothing wrong with having slaves, even when you're what? So they separated, actually the only thing that separated them is slavery. And then when they separated, God gave them the franchise. Now, so that is elementary preserve. Of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now you see, these are basic things. You know, you get born again when you die. I mean, the resurrection and what eternal judgment. Go to the verse 9 where we are. So it says, but beloved, now we are confident of better things. That we are confident that you are going to move away from those elementary principles. And now go into the actual things that speak about Christianity. Not those controversies over small things and so on. We are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. In other words, when people are talking about salvation, and you know those things where people would say, "Niori murokole gwe, wabi katori murokole." No, and they are trying to judge the outward, as if there is any murokole which is outward. Okay? Now, like elementary principles, there is nothing which you can say. And apart from saying, I renounce Jesus Christ as my Lord, there is nothing else you can say that is going to take you out of broccoli. You understand? Because you entered in by acknowledging Jesus as your Lord, and you can only get out by renouncing him. or the other methods, but let's not get there. But here's the thing. For God is not unjust. Go back to verse 9. Let's read verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. In other words, the promises, the things that come with salvation. Now, salvation is received. That's a good thing. Now, there are things that come as benefits. Now, he's saying we are confident that you'll pursue these things and get them. There are things which accompany it. And then he goes on to verse 10. Verse 10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. In other words, imitate, don't become sluggish like the 599,000 people who be, that's sluggish. He says, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, imitate those who entered the promised land. Imitate Joshua and Caleb and other people, of course, in the contemporary world, who through faith and patience entered the fullness of the promises. Now they completely left the wilderness and were complete. Even in entering, you remember when Caleb, when he went to Joshua and told him, give me this land, he went and got men and went and slaughtered people and took control of a whole hill. And said, now this is my inheritance. This is for me and my descendants. But if he had wanted to be a child, and he was 80 years old, but he went, and now let me tell you, these people actually inherited promises that you cannot even, because he was 80 years old, but he said that he had the strength, the same strength he had when he was 40 years. Because he was 40 years old when they came from surveying the promised land, and they returned. And the 10 spies gave a false report. Then him and Joshua gave a good report. And God says, they are the ones who will enter the promised land. He said that on that day, he stopped growing old. Because God was not going to put him in the punishment of these disobedient ones. So he put a pause on his age. And he started growing old again when he had entered the promised land. Because for you, you were ready to enter it. At that time, you were ready that let's go now. We can take over these people if God is with us. But your friends turned the whole congregation against you. And God says, you'll enter it, but because I don't want to enter it when you're old. You know, let me tell you, promised land is not good when you're old. It's okay, but the things you fancy right now, I mean, imagine if they gave you a Mercedes convertible when you're 80. It would be a good thing, but too late. You see, at that age, all you want is chai wo mujaja and what? Now, so don't wait to grow old to get the promise. Now, because Caleb was innocent in this thing, God says, okay, pause. So he entered there and he said that my age, I am still as strong at what? As I was from the day we came out of spying the land. So he went and fought and yet I am as strong as this day. Strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. Both for going out and for coming in. In other words, pause. 40 years later, let the disobedient die. Now, can you imagine, like, and you know what messes me up is that it says we have a better covenant with better promises? Has anybody paused their age? If girls could do that, man. From today onwards, I am 22. Back at last. Praise the Lord. But you know, you can actually do it. If anything was possible in the Old Testament, it is possible in the New Testament. We have better promises. That is very clear. A better covenant with better promises. Now, he says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The reason people don't inherit, they become sluggish. Sluggish. Let me tell you, Last time I talked to you about fighting a good fight of faith. When you are fighting that fight, you cannot be sluggish because the enemy is going to try to bombard you with negativity every single day. Every single day. It's a fight. It's a fight. Like, don't fool yourself. If you are going to walk in divine health, it's a fight. First of all, the world, which is Babylon, and all that, has presented its way to you from when you were a child. There's so many years of conditioning. Now you're trying to move your mind away from that conditioning to something which is divine. Now, the world is fighting you. The devil is there, stationed. By the way, if you want to hear the voice of the devil properly, you try to do anything by faith. Now, if you want to hear how the devil speaks, you try to do anything by faith. You will never be in doubt as to how the devil speaks. He will be there all over you. Now you see, what if this happens? Now you see, you're being irresponsible. Now what about this? Now you see, you know, you can actually just take him. And you hear the voice clearly. Like it will, Man, I remember when I tried that thing with malaria 20-something years ago. I heard the voice of the devil live. Because I woke up and said, no. I woke up, malaria, what? I had even malaria and dysentery. I'd gone to the toilet and seen blood in my stool. So I knew where this was going. And I was saying some place, and of course I knew it, I could get it. Because I was saying in some place in Kamocha, we used to eat things, you know. So dysentery. Dysentery wasn't far-fetched. You understand? You know where you go, and so on. So it was very possible to what? To have this. So when I saw the blood in the stool and the stomach was, I said, okay, now this is it. And it wasn't even the first time I'd gotten it. So anyhow, then I said, no. This time I'm going to believe God. Man. The devil started talking. Like it's like he leaves his hell and comes for you. Because he knows once you cross that bridge, something has changed in you. Like there's something which changes there. That I'm telling you. So he comes. I said, no, I'm going to church. It was a Sunday. I'm going to church. I used to even to be in the choir. I don't even know how that is possible. I used to be in the choir. Some of you don't. The Mumbalamu voice. You'll be fine. So, the devil will move. Like, it's like he stations like 10 demons on you just to tell you. So I'm going. Then as I'm leaving home, I'm there confessing. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes. Then the stomach is doing. Then you know, any minute, anytime now, I'm leaving home. Then I hear, take some toilet paper. Because you never know. They say, yeah, that sounds good. Then as I'm going to get toilet paper, then I hear another inner voice inside me saying, do you always move with toilet paper? If you're healed, what are you doing with toilet paper? So now at that stage, I could have, if I'd gone to get toilet paper, that was the end of it. But I said, no, I'm not going with toilet paper. But you know, when you're young, I think these things are easy, Imagine if you go and mess up somebody's taxi now. Because you are trying to move by faith. Oh my God. Anyway, so I went. I wasn't even in a taxi. The church wasn't far away from where I was staying. So I started walking. Oh, my stomach is. The immediate problem was the dysentery, man. So when I get to church, I get to church, and now it was exactly like this, the way the setting is. Only the stage was bigger, and the choir used to sit behind the pastor on the stage. And there was no exit like here. It was closed. So if you're leaving church for any reason, you have to, the pastor is here preaching, you have to jump down like this and take off because the toilet was like behind. So when I reach there, I hear the wisdom of the devil saying that, yeah, okay, so far so good, but you sit behind, just in case. Then I was actually pulling a seat to seat. Then I hear the voice saying, but you say you're healed. Do you always sit behind? And I said, okay, come on, buy. So I go, see you. I sit there. I'm saying, by his stripes I'm healed like a million times. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. But the stomach is... Anyway, to cut a long story short, by the time the service ended, the stomach had stopped rumbling. Actually, at some stage, I even forgot. I got carried away in the worship. Then afterwards, the sermon came and I was listening to the sermon. And I forgot. I was stopped even saying by his stripes I was healed, but the stomach also stopped what? But at some stage, it also beep a bit. Eh? Then it beeps a bit. And I said, by his stripes I'm healed. Then it's like that. Now that's a fight. Man, I'm telling you, it's a fight. Because then I finished that point. And when the service ended, I went and spoke to some lady who is a doctor. And told her that, can you imagine this morning I woke up with it, but God has healed me. And she says, hey, okay, that's good. But in case it comes back, she starts, then she pulls out a paper and starts giving me a prescription. Then I said, okay, you'll be fine. But there are people who don't want to hear positive, like, anyhow. So I leave there, and now I go back home. Now there's no dysentery. Actually, I'm closed, even the stomach is not rumbling, but man, the malaria. The malaria was like, my head was throbbing, I was sweating, like I'd just been pulled out of a pond. Like, man, the malaria. So I just lay there on my bed very weak and started saying, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I am healed, by his stripes. Like, service ended like at 1:30. I said, I lay there on the bed and said that and continued saying it. All the while, suggestions. At least take a painkiller. At least do this. By his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes. And then at 6 p.m., I didn't get healed, but I got healed. I remember very well, it was like around 6 or 6:30 p.m. that it finally hit my spirit that I am healed. Eh? And now I was sure that I am healed. Eh? Yet I was still still very sick, my body very sick, but now I was sure, like you could not convince me that I'm not healed. It would be as difficult to convince me that I wasn't saved as to convince me that I wasn't healed. Now that's where I hit faith. You hit the point of faith. Bam! Now those words you speak and speak and speak bring you to a place. Okay? And your soul listens to you more than anything else. So you're bringing your soul to a certain place. Now in that area, from the morning when I woke up with all the symptoms of malaria to the evening when I entered the promised land, I was in a wilderness of sickness, you understand? Trying to wrestle to get into that area. When I got out of there, now I was staying with my sister. She told me, but Joseph, are you sure you are? I said, you leave me alone. But by that time, I wasn't, even anything she says wasn't even affecting me. Even if I met the other doctor, now I would listen to her. Because I was sure I'd entered the place. I was sure, absolutely sure. So I slept, woke up in the morning when my bed sheets were like it had rained on them. In other words, all the symptoms of malaria, sweating, what? So I took a shower, I was weak, took a taxi to town and walked back. I had transport for only one journey. So I walked back. Like very sickly and very sure that I don't know. Like you have to have gone this journey to understand what I'm saying. Like, you cannot be convinced of that you're sick. You can't, yet your body is actually telling you you're sick. But you're saying, no, I know I'm healed. Then, bam, it was around still about, I think, 4:30 when I was walking back, climbing. I remember the place very, very well on Acacia Avenue. I used to stay in Kamocha. And walking to town, we'd go through golf course like that. Then, up to Kampala Club. So when you're there, you haven't eaten lunch, what, you're sick. So you just go up Sheraton, go down, go, what? Kampala Club, golf course. Man, it's good to be young. Because like there's extra energy. So when I reached that place, I remember that place very well. Somewhere as I was almost reaching even Kamocha. Then suddenly the healing manifested. Bam! The Musuja went completely, like, thoroughly, I felt as strong as, and that was it. That was the last time I ever got malaria. Now, the thing is, I became so confident that I cannot get it, that there was a time even my wife was sick of malaria and was and we slept under a mosquito net. And then we found mosquitoes all over. They had been jumping from year to year. But I knew I cannot get malaria. But it's impossible. Now, I had to fight that fight to enter that promised land. Amen? Now, I wasn't sluggish. Now he says here, but do not become, that doesn't mean that I didn't become sick after that, but not of malaria. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience. Because it is so easy for people to become sluggish. And by the way, let me tell you, it's a default position. You try something, try it, it doesn't work. Say, man. And it's actually, if it is something in the natural, and I tell people this, you're ready to fight natural wars. But you don't understand that this fight to enter the promised land, once you enter it, like, the fight is over. You understand? Eh? The fight is over. Now you are in a certain other place. And the fight was not good, but the victory is good. Praise the Lord. Now that's what he says also in Hebrews, labor to enter his rest. Now that sounds amazing because he said you labor, but then to enter his rest. How is that even possible? Because laboring is not supposed to be associated with rest. Sounds like an oxymoron. But you can labor in faith to enter an area of rest in a certain place. Where you are at rest, you're not scared of anything. And it can become, but it's a fight, by the way. It's a fight. Because now some of you, if you wake up in the morning and you don't have any money on your account and you don't have any money in your wallet, you will panic. Now, me, when I wake up and I don't have any money, I know that money is going to come because I'm in his rest. Like I know it has always come and it always comes. It never fails to come. And the people who live around me can testify that. That today they tell me what money, if I say I don't have it. Then the next day, in that area I entered his rest. I don't have any panic whatsoever. I labored to enter his rest. Now, some of the areas where I labored, I've told them to you in stories. But where I was fighting to get to a place where I'm at rest financially. Now it can only become bigger and bigger. You understand? Eh? But I cannot go to a place where there is a place I cannot, and I know, and I'm at rest. I know I can never be broke. I can never call somebody to say, lend me money. It can never happen. Never, 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 never. I labored to enter the rest of always having God's provision. Praise the Lord. Now, if I was sluggish, I would not have gotten there. Now, that's why he says, not become sluggish. Because these promises are for whomsoever wants to believe. They are there. But the difference is, I had to go through a wilderness. And I've told you those stories. A wilderness before I got to the rest of cheating. I know that something, like, if I don't have money, it's because it's going to come. You understand? Eh? Eh. And it is going to come, and it can never not come. You see, eh? Now, I'm confident of that because I went through a battle. Just like I'm confident I can never, like I went through the battle of that malaria. I know now, you can choose to die in the wilderness where you're always in panic. And there are people who are like that. Ever in panic. Eh? I'm down to my last 100K. What am I going to do? I've been down to my last zero. And I was never in panic. Never. Actually, there were times when I was looking at property to buy when I had zero. And I am absolutely confident that like, because that rest is an area in your heart where you've entered the promised land. You see, eh? And you know the provision of God is always there. You know it. You've experienced. But you cannot just wake up and you find yourself there. No, you have to. Now, the reason so many people die in the wilderness is because they become sluggish. And they actually find it too difficult to go through the process of believing, of trusting God, of putting your... And you know, you take you through things where you have your money, then he says, give all of it. And what now? that actually hardens your heart, and then you enter a certain rest. Then you realize that actually, even when I don't have money, it's coming. Like, yes, he will take, if you let the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, he will take you through a process where he will actually, if you choose not to be sluggish. Now, in the old King James, in the King James, it says slothful. But best generally, it means you have to be followers of those who through faith and patience. There is nobody whom you see who lives a life, a certain caliber of life, and they did not work at it. They did not go through the process of Egypt, wilderness, to the promised land. Even spirituality. By spirituality, I mean having spiritual experiences. When you see somebody telling you that, let's say, I can move out of my body and move in the spirit at will. There was a wilderness. You see, eh? Because that's not your natural place. That's not your natural disposition. You have to get it and say, this is the promised land. It is in the Bible. Elisha did it. And even the Apostle Paul did it. And he says that in Colossians. That when you gathered, my spirit was there among you. And yet actually he was in prison. In Rome. But he said, my spirit was there and I was following all your what? All your conversations. So it's biblical. So it's promise. So it's for you. But you want it badly enough. Or some people actually do want it. But I know somebody who has pursued it. Now this is somebody who even in finances, wilderness. Everything else, wilderness. But they are actually mastering the art of getting out of their body. Because that's what they, that's where they chose to focus. And now, in a short time, you can be here and say, let me go and see what they are doing in my village. Now, the promise is there. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? But you're slothful. Sluggish. Okay. My point is, you shouldn't be. Because you remember what he says in verse 9. Eh? What does he say in verse 9? He says, we are confident of better things concerning you, that you will not be sluggish. All these things exist in promises. Promises of divine nature. First, you know, his divine power has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Then he goes on in front to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, everything of the divine nature there in form of a promise. I want you to know that all things are a promise. Even salvation was a promise until you came and received it. Amen? Before you received it, it was just a promise. Anyone who receives Jesus Christ gets eternal life and the Spirit of God to indwell them. It was a promise. Then you came and received it, and then you received all that promise. Now, everything else that comes with salvation, remember the thing says that the things that accompany salvation, that is the blessing, fullness of your blessing, health, everything that you can think of, the divine nature, where you are not hindered by natural things. You have a nature which is divine, and you actually, it's all inside you. That distance, the distance between Egypt, wilderness, promised land, is all right inside you. And now, it is not how many miles, like it was in the Old Testament. It is a condition of your heart. And you can choose that, let me first pursue this. And you know how you pursue it? You get the word which actually promises it. That's one of the ways, the other ways. The other simpler ways, which I will talk to you about at some stage. But you get a word which promises it. And actually, chew on that word. People don't know how to chew on words. Like, people don't know how to get the word of God and put it inside them. You see, eh? They do not know because they want to be babies. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says that, now I say that the heir, the one who has the inheritance, as long as he is a child, is not different from a slave. Now, when you are a child in the Lord, you are an heir of wonderful promises. You are an heir of divine wealth, divine prosperity, divine healing. All those are yours by right. But as long as you're a child, you are not different from somebody who doesn't have them. Okay? That's what it says here. You are not different from a slave. Even though you are a master of all these things are yours. Just like it would be an inheritance here on earth. You see? Even kings who are made kings when they are very young, they have people who are put there to do what? I remember when they were crowning the king of Toro and he was chasing a balloon. But he's the king, you see, eh? But he cannot exercise the fullness of his kingly right as long as he's a child, you understand? And there were people who were regents ruling the kingdom. I remember even Gaddafi was there at the coronation and the guy was in a balloon. What? Then you just then throw it up. See? Then, and now that's the king. Eh? And he's a king. He's fully a king. And you cannot be a king because you are an adult. No. He's a child, but he's a king. Now, that is some people. Now, somebody else is holding your things in trust until you mature. And say, now I'm mature. After some time, I remember I read. Now, that was after the picture of child had gone some years later. Then it says, King Oyo fires over the prime minister. I say, now he has become a mature person. Now he's taking control of what? Of the affairs. Eh? Now, this is how it is with you. You are an heir of everything. You're a master of it all. But it demands for you to come out of childhood and enter and go through the rigor of those stories. We are not put in the Old Testament for nothing. The wilderness, what? No. You have to go through the rigor of going through that. Then you receive it. Now, you can get a word. Chew on it. The other day I was talking here. I was actually saying a lot of these things here at partnership meeting on Monday. Then somebody came and told me that, but the way you just come and start talking and, you know, jump one to the other. And because he had seen me, there were some political people who were there whom I was talking to. So we're talking politics. Then, admin came and told me, now we are ready for you. So I just told these people, wait for me. I came, and now I started giving them very powerful things of what? And they said, how do you switch from? Let me tell you, this thing, if you really, 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 really want to live a life that is not ordinary, and I'm about to end, like I get these words and I be on them when I'm driving. Now there are words which the Lord gave me sometimes, which I'm on them, then you're mulling over them and connecting them and what. And some of you, of course, you would spend all that energy fighting over words of somebody who annoyed you or did something or said something unkind about you. Now, if you say something unkind about me, as they do all the time, I don't have any time for that. Absolutely none. But now I will get this thing and start. Now I gave you a word here of inheritance. You remember? Now the other way, the simpler way of doing it is by inheriting from somebody who has done it before. But that one is a matter for another day. Okay? But it's the simplest way. Praise the Lord. The simplest way is Peter walking on water by telling Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come. And as long as he tells you to come, you can also walk on water. You understand? Now, if anybody who has done anything has the ability to take you there. And you can just receive it without any work whatsoever. But you see, some people, this is a very difficult paper. Now, I have been meditating on inheritance for a very long time. Like, where my mind is full of inheritance. When I'm talking to somebody about something totally different, I'm just taking a break away from inheritance. As soon as I finish, okay? Now, even when I'm coming to record a message here with Akena, I first have to take a break from what I've been meditating on, then put myself in a different mind, because I want to speak about something different. As soon as I finish, my mind is back to what I'm meditating on. And now it changes. This is how you change your life. So shall you make your way success. And like you can really, really make it a part of you. That there is no work necessary. Because even you see, you can go through the healing process, like I told you, by his stripes I'm healed and fight the fight of it. But there is another way in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Where it says that you can live in divine health by just doing what? Go to verse 21. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Okay? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Go ahead. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. When you start doing that thing, you realize that if you used to get seniga like 10 times a year, you start getting it like once a year. You haven't even entered into really cutting it off. But once the words are inside you, they become life. And now you realize that you used to get sick often, now you no longer get sick. Like you, something is working. And then eventually if you continue, you get to a point where you don't absolutely get sick whatsoever. Even if somebody sneezes in your face, you will not even get flu. Or even any such thing. So you don't have coughs, you don't have flus, you don't have what? By just keeping the words. Now these are promises. Now when you actually take these things seriously and you do not become sluggish, because the world is set in a way that it wants to get your attention to think about everything else. So there is this, then the other one, then the other one, then somebody's nudes are out, then somebody's what, then somebody what, then what, and then you also get caught up in that rubbish. Then somebody, okay, there, of course there's time for that. Some funny videos, then what? Then of course you watch comedy and what, but then you have to know what is the most important and keep major things major. So of course you watch, then you go and watch. Now people watch series, I pity you. Now, I watched 24. One day, I got a number of them. I was supposed to take my kid to school in the morning. So I put my kid to bed at night. Then I watched 24 until it was time to take him to school. Then I said, this thing is the devil. because now, do you know what it does? It keeps a hold of your mind. Your mind is so precious. Like, you imagine. Then I went and watched Prison Break. Now, the thing is, imagine somebody like, whoo, then tomorrow. And they know how to leave you on a cliffhanger. Where you want to know what happened. No, do you know what they are doing? And they know what they are doing. They are keeping a hold of your mind for 24 hours. They say, oh, what happened? What did they want? Now, I decided for entertainment, I watch movies. 1.5 hours, finished. There is no sequel. There is nothing coming after this. They come and say, previously on 24. Now, I did not get an ounce of sleep and I had to go and work. Not an ounce of sleep. Even when they called me that they have finished bathing a kid and now he's ready to go to school, I was still watching. Has he had breakfast? Yes. Has he bathed? Yes. Have you? Yes. I said, okay, man. So I got the thing and I had to take him to school. Now, I said, these things here, you can be messed up. And now, of course, we all need entertainment. Don't get me wrong. But I prefer the one which does not keep a hold of my mind when I'm there wondering, what happened? Or if at best, I wait for you to play out, then I get a recording. And even then, it cannot be more than 5 or 6 episodes. And I watch them in one go and know that it will chew a day. Now, incline your ear to my words. Like, I know that is ended because you become a slave of the thing. And they do it on purpose. And by the way, on purpose. Now, there are people who cannot breathe when the Premier League is on. The game happened on Sunday, but you're still on acid. Now, in those 5 days when you should be building your life, you're on acid. But did you see what he did? Now I saw a guy with a boda boda and he had put on wase nototura. I said, now this, you are working, you're putting malala in your work. Now, I saw a picture of it, I said, now, how do you take things that seriously? That is entertainment. Enjoy it and then move on. Amen? But now, it is meant to what? To keep you there. Then when the Premier League ends, then now, Euro 2024. Then Euro ends, now Premiership again. Then World Cup. Then and you're growing old. And we are getting closer to the rapture. And you're still in the wilderness because you're sluggish. Now, and I'm saying football because that's some people's... And now, of course, you know, like, I love football. But everything has its time. Football, chiwede. Now, get it out of my mind. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to fight. fight the good fight of what? Fight the good fight of faith. It says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 that for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Like the world throws everything at you, but the victory is, I don't believe that. So they come and say, now, can you imagine now? Of course, now it is fake, eh? But don't allow people in your churches unless they have IDs. Ooh, what crap is that? What crap is that? So is that asking for IDs when you've come to pray? If you want to blow us up, you blow us up. The bomb will blow you only. You see now the thing is, the faith, that is what overcomes the world, even our faith. So when I say that, now, people take that word very lightly, our faith. But the difference between you being broke and being scared, and somebody, you having no money and being scared, and me having no money and being, is my faith. You have no money, I have none. But my faith, in 3 hours, I will be having 50 million. Because I have faith. And I've built it, praise the Lord. And in the morning, I woke up, I did not have any single coin, not one. And the evening ends when I have... Nyongereko? Let me stop. And now, the victory that has overcome the world in that area is just my faith. I am sure. I know it's good. How did I get there? I labored to enter his rest. I labored, then now I'm in his rest. So my wallet having no money, no problem. I'm in his rest. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, you people are joking. You can be the younger, you are agitated over things like rent. And God is saying, labor to enter his rest. And you think the rest is going to be when you have a house of your own. No. You can be that you don't have a house of your own, but you know that you never have issues with rent. And the difference between having them and not having them is faith. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Talking about the people in the desert. And he says that they were all, but some of them died in the desert. He even speaks that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Where he says that, verse 1. Brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. How that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. In other words, and we are all baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, which in the Old Testament was manna, but in the New Testament is Christ, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, which we have all drank. Okay? But then he says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now they got born again, they saw the sun. They drank of Christ, they have Christ in them, but some of them died in the wilderness. That's what he's saying. Now verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lasted. Now the thing is, of course, one of the things that stops people from entering rest is they become, you know, what agitates people. Go to verse 11. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the worlds have come. All the things of how they died in the wilderness are not. All of them were just examples. And they're examples for you. You can die in the wilderness. Now let me tell you, there are people whom you look at their lives, and I've seen some of them. There was a gentleman whom they told me used to go to the same church which I once went to, but he joined when I'd already left the church. Very, very fiery man, evangelist, fiery and everything. And very committed person. But he died in a very, very gruesome way. Where you see now this is really dying in the wilderness. There are things which are not supposed to happen when you actually walk in, you know. Do you know, like, they told me how he died. I even shuddered. He used to ride a bicycle. That was his means of transport. And he was, you know, energetic. And so he had no problem. Bicycle. Then one day, he's riding behind a taxi. And the taxi guy sees somebody and stops suddenly. This guy went and hit the screen of the taxi behind. And his head went through. Inside the taxi like this. And the car glass piercing ear. Whoosh! And he bled to death. And he's in heaven, but man, he died in the wilderness, man. Like, you're not supposed to die like that, man. Like, there are certain things where you have not accomplished the purpose of your life. You have not seen the good things of life. You said, Jesus died so that we have the best of both worlds. Amen? The best of this world and the best of the world to come. Praise the Lord. Now, some people say, you're trying to have the best of both worlds. That's actually why Jesus died. That you move in this world victorious, provided for, rich, and then you go in the next world and you still, and you fulfill the number of your days, you fulfill your purpose, and then you live a victorious life. Now, I look at the guy like, and you were somebody whom you know was born again, but now you die, somebody dies like that. And then you say, man, that's the wilderness. And then others would die like in depth of depravity, deprived of anything. There are people who are born again and are going to die and go to heaven. And they have not seen a single good thing in this world. Not one good thing. And that is very sad. Very, very sad. Imagine Jesus, like, died to give you an inheritance. Then you go and die like that. Like in the middle, a very young man, in the middle of your life. First of all, at least you live a bad life, but leave it out. But you die in the middle of your youth, in a very gruesome way. You have never seen anything good in this life. Now, you'll go to heaven and heaven is nice. Eh? But then you'll say, praise the Lord. Now, I remember a man who said, now, it's sad. You understand? Eh? But if he knew that the promised land is there, if he actually put himself to it, he can get everything he wants. And it is there. It is there. Jesus Christ died for you to have it. And now you can see, he says that because he has tried and tried, but he doesn't know how. Amen? But you know how. Now, if you fail to get there, it's your business. Because I have taught you how to get in. So now, it is only your sluggishness which is going to stop you from getting there. But otherwise, if you commit yourself to it, you get the best things in this world. The best things in this world are for the children of God. God did not make all this wealth for wicked people. But then he put it in some of his saints that they will become very angry when a man of God has a private jet. But they have no business when a drug dealer has it. And you see, the devil has entered their head. They will never enter the promised land. You have to celebrate something which you want. Now you see how the world out there says, pastors, what? Driving a fleet of Range Rovers, what? That's the devil. Now, if it also annoys you because you don't have the Range Rover, you'll never get it. But if you know that God is no respecter of persons, what he has done for another, he will do for you, isn't it? And you say, I'm going to pursue it. I also want to live a good life in this world. You will get it. And you don't become sluggish. You will get it. And now, if you are pursuing something, you do not get angry at people who have it. When you start getting angry at people who have it, you know that you stopped the pursuit. Now you've entered Nugu. The phase of Nugu. Yes, and once you enter the phase of Nugu, you know you stopped pursuing. But there is no rich wonder. Okay, like I see those wonderful mansions you see out there. And why do you get angry? If you want it, just say, man, God, I also want this. Eh? I also want to stay in a house like that. And man, that's a prayer that he will honor. Amen? Eh. And by the way, let me tell you this. You can even tell him, teach me how to keep in faith so that I end up like that. And you let the Holy Spirit be your guide. You understand? Eh? Because there is nothing of faith where the Holy Spirit does not guide you. Like I told you that story of mine, where the devil says, take me, and then he says, no, no, don't. You're healed. Then when, he is the master of encouraging you when he sees you about to give up. Then he will show you something. Then something shows up. Then you get encouraged. Then you stay. Because he wants you to stay the course. Amen? Now, you can choose to be angry. Of course, none of you is like that, I know. I'm confident of better things concerning you, as the scripture says. But it is so easy for you to go out there and you also get what? Sure. Over what? Where do they get their money? And you are going to go down a drain where they will not be able to pull you out. And then after that, you go from envy to envy, from Nugu to Nugulist. To Nugulist. Like, and why are you angry? God is no respecter of persons. Now, if you believe that completely, you will know that there is no need to be angry. You just ask somebody, ne uchikorotia? Uchikorotia? Then if the person is nice, has a good heart, he says, this is how you do. And learn and pursue. And remember what Jesus said, knock and the door will be open unto you. For no one knocks, no one seeks, and does not find. So you, like, and when you're seeking to live a good life, Jesus Christ is happy that you're going to live a good life here. Because imagine if you're a rich man, and you worked so hard to get your wealth, and you have all these, you know, estates. Then you die and give them to your sons. And then some man comes and deceives your sons, and the next thing, your sons are the ones staying in the boys' quarter, and this guy is the one staying in the main house. And imagine you, if you were seeing from heaven, how would you feel? You see, he worked so hard for my son. Somebody came and messed them up. Now that's actually what happens. Jesus Christ worked so hard for you to get the best of this world. But somebody called the devil came and deceived you. That the promised land is heaven. Which promised land? That ngenda musi ensubize. And now he has messed you up. He has told you, go wait for heaven. No, the promised land is here. There is no promised land in heaven. Heaven is a land of reward. Praise the Lord. And the devil comes and deceives you the way the man would deceive the house. Then the next thing you see, imagine you're in heaven and you're looking. And you say, but my son, I worked so hard for those things. Like, I gave you all these properties and I wanted you to live a good life because your father worked hard. Praise the Lord. But you let the devil deceive you. Now, that's what happens in the church today. Now, the Lord, when he sees people. I remember when I saw that movie of Passion of the Christ. And then the man said, that guy, Mel Gibson, said that actually he feels that Jesus was beaten more than even what he showed in the Passion. But if he had done it any more than that, they would have classified the movie as too violent and to not be showing in some cinema. So he had to tone it down a bit. But even the toning down, imagine how they beat him. So that you are not sick. Then you're sick. Because the only purpose of the beating was healing. Then I had another man of God saying that actually there's a scripture in Isaiah 52 which says he was beaten until he was without form, like where people cannot even recognize you. By his stripes you are healed. And he did that all for you to be healed. Then I looked at that thing, I said, but how can Jesus go through this for me to be healed? And I'm here sick. Like, that is not right. Because they beat him and beat him until it says he lost all his comeliness, like his form, where you cannot recognize him. He's unrecognizable. And it has all been set up by the Spirit of God for your healing. And then he sees you there and you're sick. And then the Lord Jesus says, but after what I went through, and you're still sick, praise the Lord. Now, if you decide to enter the promised land there, you will enter it. And say, but Jesus, you can't go through this and I stay sick. I have refused to be sick. It might take you some time for you to actually get the fullness of your healing. But it starts with saying, no, I've refused to accept that I'm going to live with sickness because of what the Lord went through for me to be healthy. Praise the Lord. How many of you have watched the movie, Passion of the Christ? Like, when you look at it, you even want to look the other side. And say, but man, praise the Lord.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter @UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UGWatchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.